Hey, today on ELT, we're starting with a question from our friends at Brains On. It's this awesome podcast for kids and for adults who are not dead inside. They love tackling those little nagging questions that get stuck in your brain, and they got one they knew we could help with.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Our question today comes from Caitlin.
Popcorn. Why is it so big and white and fluffy inside a tiny little kernel?
It's a great question.
Yeah, wonderful question.
Thank you.
That's Alex and Emmanuel. They're going to help answer this question.
We are physicists interested in everyday life objects.
So, Caitlin, what interests you about this?
I don't know. Instead of being like a normal explosion that creates fire and smoke, it creates popcorn.
I agree. It's very mysterious, and this explosion is a bit magical.
Caitlin, you're onto a real mystery.
Cool.
Unbelievably, humans didn't understand some of the fundamental mechanics of popcorn popping until Emmanuel and Alex looked into this a few years ago.
I think part of it is because we often assume that familiar objects are well known. And we usually are afraid to ask simple questions like, why do popcorn pop?
Okay, so why does it pop? First thing you need to know is that popcorn is a seed.
The seed contains a fair amount of starch and some water.
And that starch and water is like a snack pack for the baby plant. And it's also very important to why popcorn pops. So Caitlin, I want you to imagine that you are a microscopic Caitlin and you're inside the kernel before it pops.
Okay.
What do you think it would look like all around you?
Just like marshmallows everywhere. And there's water.
Yeah. So what do you think happens to that water when you heat the kernel?
It starts to boil and it turns into steam.
Precisely. And that steam is trapped inside the kernel, but the steam takes up a lot more space than liquid water. So you can imagine what's happening.
The steam wants to escape.
This is what makes the explosion of popcorn is that you, as you warm it up, you start to build pressure inside. So what happens when you raise the pressure?
It pops.
Exactly. Yes. And it breaks.
It bursts. And the starch is like, I'm free.
That's completely scientifically accurate.
When the shell of the popcorn is broken, all those cells can expand.
The steam that had been trapped puffs out the starch as it blows out of the shell.
The starch, it starts to look like a sponge that you may have in the kitchen.
And it turns all white and fluffy.
Yes, and that fluffiness explains why popcorn jumps into the air when it pops. That's one of the discoveries that Alex and Emmanuel made in their study a few years ago. They filmed popcorn popping in super slow motion. Do you want to take a look at this video?
Yeah, sure.
Also, if you're following along at home, you can go to elt.show/snackmiracle.
Whoa.
And you can see that just as the kernel splits, that starch, that free starch, comes spilling out.
Yeah. The starch will create legs. It's propelling the popcorn.
So the popcorn launches itself with its starchy leg.
When it pops, it pushes off the ground.
Exactly.
It's like a gymnast.
Yeah, exactly.
Except you eat it.
Yes.
I can do a flip. Maybe I'll call it the popcorn move instead of a flip.
I like that. Did we answer your question, Caitlin?
Yeah. It's a whole new world of popcorn.
But we're not at the bottom of the popcorn bucket yet. Y'all had a lot of corn questions.
Hello.
This is listener Ryan. He needed to know popcorn's origin story.
I mean, I don't even know how you get popcorn.
Is popcorn a big part of your life, Ryan?
It's been a big part of my marriage. We've been married for 15 years now. And when we first moved in together, we started making popcorn pretty much every single night.
You've been eating popcorn every night for 15 years.
Most nights for 15 years.
Okay, so your question is,
where did it come from? How did we discover it? I'm also curious about the history of it.
Yeah, who gave us the gift of popcorn? To get to the bottom of that, we had to go to the premier repository of popcorn knowledge, a silo of popcorn history.
Well, the Popcorn Museum was founded around 1982. It's housed in a circus tent.
That's Gail Martin, director of the Wyandotte Popcorn Museum in Marion, Ohio. And there are challenges when you work at an institution dedicated to the preservation of popcorn knowledge.
We have to be really careful. You know, you can't hardly eat popcorn and then handle a historic document.
And Ryan, where there are historic popcorn documents, there's popcorn history. So how long do you think people have been eating popcorn?
I'm going to go back at most like 100 years, maybe 80 to 90.
Do you want to just think about that any longer?
I'm going to go with 400 years.
400 years.
Why not? Is that better?
Okay, yeah.
Popcorn might be as old as 5,600 years.
What?
Popcorn appears to be a 5,000-year-old snack.
How'd they figure that out?
I'm going to tell you, but first you need to know some other corn facts. And I'm just going to go full-on nerd with you, okay?
Okay, give it to me. Yeah, let's nerd out on popcorn.
Okay, there are different types of corn. There's animal feed corn, corn for flour, sweet corn, and then there's popcorn corn.
Oh, so it's only one type of corn.
Correct. And then within popcorn, there are varieties with different kernel shapes. So there's mushroom, which is rounded and perfect for caramel corn.
I just figured it was rounded off by the caramel.
No, it was bread for caramel corn. There's also butterfly shape, which has a lot of surface area to soak up butter, and that is the kind you get at the movie theater.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
Okay, back to our 5,000-year-old popcorn. The earliest evidence of the popcorn-type corn was found in an archaeological site in New Mexico called Bat Cave. And to verify that it was indeed popcorn, the scientists really went the extra mile on this one.
They took a few of the unpopped kernels and dropped them into hot oil to prove they could still pop.
Did it pop?
Yes.
It popped!
Don't you feel like that's like they're making soup out of the bones of Lucy?
Right. That just lets me know that I never need to worry about, are these popcorn seeds old?
Okay, questions?
Well, yeah. So the first question I had, you said bat cave. You didn't say human cave. How do we know the bats weren't jamming on the popcorn?
Well, they discovered layers of trash, garbage, and all kinds of things.
So they can tell that the cave was inhabited by humans.
But they didn't find that they had popped it.
Well, we don't know how they were popping them.
Oh, Gail.
But listen to this.
In 4th century AD, they found a Zapotec funeral urn in Mexico, and it depicted a maize god with symbols that represented primitive popcorn in his headdress.
Evidence that they had a popping mechanism.
Oh, that's awesome.
Okay, so popcorn keeps spreading across the Americas over the next 1,000 years. By the time the French are exploring North America in the early 1600s, they find Native Americans popping popcorn, and the Pilgrims report eating popcorn. And this is their special recipe.
A lot of the early settlers were kind of popping it in oil in a lot of grease, and they pull it out of there, put it in a bowl, and they put milk and sugar on it, just like we do for cereal today.
Popcorn cereal.
Yeah, and I personally feel like the spoon makes a lot of sense for popcorn.
Wait, you're pro spoon in your popcorn eating?
I've never tried it, but I might because I have the problem that so many of us have, which is that when I eat popcorn, I shove huge handfuls into my mouth and I look hideously disgusting.
Oh, yeah, that's the point, though. I mean, there's no, like, popcorn is to be eaten, a towel over your head so you don't let others or God see your shame.
Okay, well, the other fix is that you eat it in the dark, which is what happened in the early 20th century when people figure out that the best place to eat popcorn is in a darkened theater.
Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Delicious things to eat.
The popcorn can't be beat.
The sparkling. Here's how popcorn got into theaters. There's a dude named Charlie Kreeters. That's who we have to thank.
And Charlie Kreeters decided that if you could take all the supplies that you needed to pop popcorn or roast peanuts, you could be out and sell all day and sell them all over town.
Kreeters invented the portable popcorn machine. Now he can make and sell popcorn anywhere. So he goes to where the crowds are, like in front of a movie theater.
And here's this vendor popping popcorn, and that aroma, of course, drags people over to the machine. They buy popcorn, they take it back in the theater, and they make a huge mess, which you always do when you eat popcorn.
So movie theaters are like, this is why we can't have nice things, and they ban popcorn vendors.
All across America, ordinances start to be passed stating that a vendor cannot park outside of a movie theater or an opera house during their times of operation.
But it's too late. The kernel is out of the cob.
People get upset and they start smuggling their own popcorn in.
How do you bring in just like around your belly?
Actually, Gail had stories about this.
Well, the one I love the most was a woman who really wanted to have popcorn in the theater. So she took a lot of popcorn balls and wrapped them in wax paper and shoved them in her bloomers and made it into the theater without being detected, and then sat in the theater and vended popcorn out of her underwear.
The bloomer method.
That's good.
We all know what it's like to smuggle snacks into a movie theater, and she was a pioneer.
Eventually, popcorn made its way out of women's bloomers. And theaters quickly realize they're leaving a huge revenue opportunity on the table, and they start selling popcorn themselves. Then comes Jiffy Pop, home air poppers, microwave popcorn, and the rest is history. Popcorn isn't going anywhere. According to the Popcorn Board, Americans on average eat 42 quarts of popcorn per person per year. That's like almost a trash bag full.
It's truly the air we breathe.
Is there anything else we can leave you with?
I would love to know some great recipes.
I do have one cooking method that I wanted to share with you.
There's another way I could do this?
It might be a don't try this at home situation. I can't tell.
Oh, man. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So the scientist we talked to for the first part of this episode said that one of the things they learned from their study is that popcorn pops at a very specific temperature.
180 degrees Celsius.
Which is 356 Fahrenheit. So this is what the scientist said. Put all your popcorn kernels on a tray, preheat to 356, and then they all explode in a chaotic mess.
I like the fact that it's a mess.
That sounds like a blast.
Are you going to make popcorn tonight?
Of course. It's Tuesday.
When we come back, we solved the mystery of a tiny vegetable. Guess which one? I'm Flora Lichtman, and you're listening to Every Little Corn.
Hi there. I'm just sitting here eating my lunch, and I'm wondering what little corns are. Are they actually corn, or are they something else?
Hello.
Hey, Mary. So what's your hypothesis on this baby corn mystery?
I think there must be miniature corn plants.
Like the Shetland pony of plants.
Yes, exactly. I'm not even honestly sure that it's actually corn.
We called one of the world's top baby corn experts, Carol Miles, and asked your question.
I guess I can understand why it's mysterious to other people. I don't personally see the mystery.
Mary, it's baby corn.
It's immature. That's correct.
So if they continued to let it grow, it would become full-sized ugly corn.
Yes.
Oh, so we're eating babies.
Yeah, like 1 or 2 week olds.
Not to take it somewhere dark.
Oh, I'm right there with you. And I found it to be an uncomfortable revelation.
Oh, I don't think you should be uncomfortable. I think eating baby vegetables, if you think about it from the production side of things, the faster we can get a crop out of the field, the better it is for the grower.
Because they can then plant another crop?
That's right.
The tricky thing about baby corn, though, is that it's very delicate.
Those ears are so tender. When you're harvesting it, it actually snaps quite easily.
So it has to be harvested by hand, which means the labor costs are really high, which is why you don't see fresh baby corn in America so much, unless you grow it yourself.
I'm definitely going to be growing some baby corn. My husband's going to die when he sees the backyard.
And are you going to do the harvesting?
Absolutely, yes. And put my children to work.
Baby labor for baby corn.
That's right. They have soft hands.
I wonder what's next for baby vegetables.
Welcome to America's Next Top Baby Vegetable. Who can resist a vegetable that fits in the palm of your hand? A veggie that you can swallow without chewing. What's the next hot baby vegetable waiting to be discovered?
Well, I'm not sure about the waiting to be discovered because most of the vegetables I know, somebody's pretty aware of them somewhere.
However, Carol, our horticulture expert, did offer a contender.
It's bulb fennel.
Baby fennel bulbs.
The flavor that comes from that is just amazing.
And what would you cook with those?
Adding it chopped fresh to salads, sautéing it with pork and chicken, whole baked baby fennel bulbs.
I am 100% sold, Carol. How do we get in on this?
Okay, well, that was my idea completely. I just want you to know.
Before we go, on our next episode, we're talking lotteries, and we want to hear your prize-winning story. Raffles, yogurt lids, it doesn't matter how you won, call us and tell us the best or weirdest prize you ever walked away with. 347-464-9626, and you can find us on Facebook and Twitter all week long.
Every Little Thing is produced by Zakiya Gibbons, Annette Heist, Phoebe Flanagan, Aaron Reese, and Flora Lichtman, with help from Nicole Pasulka and Doug Barron. Ian Chillog is our consulting editor. Scoring by Dara Hirsch, Bobby Lord, and Haley Shaw. Mixing by Dara Hirsch. Thanks to the podcast Brains On. Don't forget to check out their show wherever you listen.